peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to be with you again on this day. It seems to have come a little bit sooner than it had before. I'm here on campus as a part of the LWML Board of Directors in conjunction with the SEM4 banquet this evening. I'm glad to share with you a bit in conjunction with the readings from Colossians based on Sauer's daily prayer. It was really appropriate reading as I looked at it because it talked about the great put-on. Sometimes when we talk about a put-on, it's usually understood in a very negative sense. You're putting me on is an accusation directed against someone who we apparently are accusing of deception or dishonesty. You're just putting on is an accusation of someone who is putting up a false front and not being real or genuine, pretending what they are not. So they come across, at least as we interpret it, as being phonies. That is certainly not what St. Paul talks about when he talks about putting on. He's talking about putting on the very qualities of Jesus Christ, which are a part of the new nature that he has already talked about up in verse 10 of Colossians 3, about having put off the old nature and putting on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Whenever we are freed from something, you see, our Lord always directs us for something or to something. He talks about people who have been brought out of darkness, but into His marvelous light. Put off the old and put on the new. The whole basis for that, you see, is the great put-on that already had happened. The great put-on in our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was the very Son of God, put on our human nature, became one of us. Put on our sinfulness, our death, and carried it to the cross. So because of that great put-on, we also are called to put on Jesus Christ. Putting on is a form of imitation. Imitation of the very qualities of Christ. And St. Paul has quite a list in this particular section. It would probably take us a half hour just to glance over them briefly. But as you look down the list, you quickly recognize that those are words which were used to describe our Lord Jesus Christ in His very ministry, His life, His very nature. And several of them are also a part of the list of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. He talks about things like compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiving, peace, love. Let's just take one of those for a moment. The first one mentions compassion. And it doesn't take you very long in the reading of the Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ to quickly pick up that that is a word very descriptive of the attitude of Jesus toward the people He came to minister to. Matthew chapter 9. He looked out over the crowds that were thronging to Him. It says that He had compassion on the crowds, for they were harassed and helpless as those without shepherds. Or on another occasion, in Matthew 15, as He saw the crowds coming, this was before the feeding of the 4,000, He again is described as having compassion on the crowds. In Matthew 14, as He looks over the people, He has compassion on them, teaches them, and heals their sick. You and I are called to put on this attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ among many others. Called to do that because He's made it possible in His putting on our sinfulness so that he could share his very nature with us. That's something, I guess, that my being a part of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League has been significant to me, because I have come to know God's people who, in their desire to serve, I have seen evidences of people who are putting on these kinds of spirits of attitudes of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not perfectly, no, but people who are joined together and committed to that goal of wanting to put on Christ more and more each day as they are into his word and as they share in the ministry that he has given to us. St. Paul sees an important part of that process of imitating Christ as one in verse 16, of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Because that word, you see, shares the very spirit and power that he came to give. That's why opportunities like this point of a day, other opportunities where we gather to share and study his word are important. That too is an important goal and a purpose of the LWML, to encourage people to be in the business of being in the word and to be sharing it, to be saying that word to one another, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in their hearts, because that's the source power. It unleashes the power of Christ in all relationships. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, listed a number of examples of how this fleshes out in life when this begins to happen. He talks about husbands, wives, parents, slaves, parents and children, masters and slaves. I don't see in there any reference to seminary students and professors, unless perhaps you put yourself in that last category of masters and slaves. I wonder what he would say if he were writing to this particular body. Seminary professors, you are not to lord it over others. You're not here to try to impress others with your wisdom and your efforts. You're not simply to make students feel lowly, to make them humble. You are not to view this opportunity that you have here as simply an academic exercise, but to view it as an opportunity to reach out and to help God's people who have his spirit in their hearts and in whom Christ lives, to help that to come to life and to power in the days, in the ministries of these people as they are sent forth. Students, you are not to view your professors or your fellow students as enemies or competitors. You are not to view either this opportunity as just an academic exercise, but as an opportunity for spiritual growth for yourself and for nurturing your relationship with your Lord Jesus Christ, and to encourage that nurturing in the lives of those around you. You see, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you. We do that, the Spirit of Christ is in our midst. C.S. Lewis wrote, in conjunction with a similar theme to what Paul is talking about in Colossians 3, he writes in Beyond Personality, "May I start by putting two pictures, or two stories rather, into your minds. One is the story you have all read called Beauty and the Beast. Girl, you remember, had to marry a monster for some reason, and she did. She kissed it as if it were a man. And then, much to her relief, it really turned into a man, and all went well. The other is a story about someone who had to wear a mask, a mask which made him look much nicer than he really was. He had to wear it for years. When he took it off, he found that his own face had grown to fit it. He was now as handsome as that mask had been. What had begun as a disguise had become a reality. I think both of these stories may, if you use your imagination, help to illustrate what happens to us as Christians. There is a good kind of pretending, of putting on. You're not feeling particularly friendly, but know you ought to be. The best thing you can do is to put on a friendly manner and behave as if you were a nicer person than you actually are. And in a few moments, as we have all noticed, you will find yourself really beginning to feel much friendlier than you were. Very often, the only way to get equality in reality is to start behaving as if you had it already. Friends in Christ, that's what St. Paul is urging us. For in reality, we have that new nature. It has been given to us in our baptism, as he writes in Galatians 3. He has empowered it as he feeds us in his word and sacrament. Now he simply calls us to be, to live out what he has made us in his grace. May that spirit, that word, dwell in you richly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.